Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, on today's episode of Something Major, we're going to recap the semifinals of the men's and women's matches at Wimbledon, and we will also explain to you why John Isner is shirtless right now.
Am I good?
All right, everyone, welcome back. We've got Charlie Fox, the team and the team at SIFT. We've got Jack Sock, and we've got a shirtless John Isner on the pod with us today. I'm Sam Querrey. So if everyone doesn't remember, we're just going to explain to people why John is shirtless. We had the bracket challenge for Wimbledon, which I think we had a little over 4,000 people compete in. And whoever did the worst amongst the four of us had to go shirtless for an episode. Sure enough, when Sinner beat Novak today at Wimbledon, that confirmed that Isner finished last place. Therefore, he is shirtless right now. So how do you feel?
Feel a bit
embarrassed.
Naked. I'm not embarrassed. I'm disappointed in how I did between the four of us. I was fully confident it was not going to be me, but look at me now.
Yeah, so here you are.
Right. I'm happy to do it on Something Major because these are typically a tick shorter than our normal episodes.
So yeah, that was smart. Like we shouldn't have
agreed to embarrassment that. Over with quicker. But that being said, no one asked for this, and I highly recommend that this episode is an audio listen.
It's a much better audio listen.
Not a YouTube watch. So.
Oh, man. All right. Good stuff. I just came, for those of you that are wondering, you two were probably wondering too, from the members enclosure at Wimbledon. You guys ever been in there?
No. I was always – is it just impeccable?
It was like a cocktail party for if you play Legends and stuff. Impeccable. I mean – yeah. I imagine like the violin playing, the food, you got to wear a coat and tie. Everyone's like 70. Yep. I imagine it was what the Titanic was like before it went down. But I mean, it was perfect. But yeah, cool. I didn't know if I'd ever get in there. So I had to take the opportunity to go in. But
is that cool. That area on the way to the center court when you leave the locker room?
Yeah, it's like down.
Yeah.
It was cocktail members party. At least five members pulled me aside to say they listened to the pod, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
British?
Yeah. British, yeah. Some the older British crowd likes the pod.
So we'll say that. At a tennis tournament in Newport, there's a lot of Nothing Major fans as well.
Yeah.
It was
we saw some pictures. Are Bob and Mike members?
They are members. You don't become a member if you win the doubles. Yes, members. And I think they got it after they won Wimbledon like five or six times. Not the first time. Because if you win doubles, as Jack did, you're not a member, right, Jack?
No, that's it. Vashik and I made that mistake because I'd always thought if you won singles or doubles, you were an automatic member. So after Vashik and I won, singles. That was the first thing we said to each other. We were like, I think we're members now. And then we were quickly shut down on that. So.
I have something to say. Back to Bob and Mike, they're like honorary members. There's no way Mike's paying dues.
No, there's like no dues at this place, dude. As you know, it's like Augusta kind of thing from what I hear. There's like zero dues. The food is
zero
cheap.
Zero dues?
Or minimal dues is the word on the street I'm getting. Okay. Like next to nothing.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'll get to the bottom of it. And maybe champions don't actually pay the dues too. I don't know. Are they invoicing Fed for like 123 pounds a month? Like, not that he can't pay it, but maybe.
That's a good question.
Yeah, like if Fed's late, he misses a couple monthly dues. Is like Fed to get like a little letter?
You know, sometimes country clubs will like post it. If you're like late on your dues, they'll like post it in like the main area. It'd be so funny.
Oh, that'd be great. We got to talk a little bit more about Jack's doubles match last week. I know we got Wimbledon. I'm going to go to John first. We were a little soft, maybe. You think with the overview of the Sock Ackman Dubs match?
Yeah, I think we were a bit diplomatic, Sam, a couple days ago. And upon further review, I mean, it was an exhibition out there. Like he was pretty bad. Let's call a spade a spade. And the internet's had fun with it. There's one video in particular going to the Curb Your Enthusiasm music, about a minute long video of the Ackman highlights. I thought it was pretty funny, but obviously we got Jack himself on the pod, so we want to see what he felt like during the course of that match. But you know, I think we even said something, Sam, about like, oh, the courts are tough there. It's hard to play doubles at Newport. Like, it didn't matter what the court surface was. The shots he hit were yeah, really bad.
Jack, give us your break. How was the match? Was it fun?
It was interesting. I think it was a weird spot to be in. Obviously, I think we all, if you've seen any highlights or saw any of the match, you can tell that Bernard and Omar Jasica probably weren't hitting the ball as hard as they could and or playing the top level tennis at times that we know they can produce. I think that allowed for obviously Bill, my partner there to get in some points. A wild card can go to anybody. I happen to be part of, you know, the team getting a wild card there, and it fulfilled like a lifelong dream for him. And I think he really enjoyed being out there. Obviously the level wasn't there for a lot of it, but I got to get out and play a competitive match again, which was pretty fun. I do think I agree. I don't think the surface really mattered. I do think grass is the worst possible surface though for someone who's never played an event, and to go out there and play, you know, high level players on, and especially with the rain on and off, it was like extra skiddy and slick, and yeah, it was just, but yeah, I'm receiving a lot of hate on social media for sure. But does that bother me whatsoever? No. Am I happy I went and did it? Yeah, it was a fun experience. It was a fun, you know, few days. So is what it is. I'm pretty sure Mark Einz played in multiple challengers as well.
He 100% has.
Yeah.
So he went to like, I actually ran into him at the airport one time. And when he was on his way, I'm on like, I forget which airport it was. It might've been Miami or something. I was on a layover and we were on the train, and I'm like, I see Mark Einz with his tennis bag. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to Ecuador to play a challenger. I think we're trying to get him on the pod, right?
So yeah, I think we got Mark Einz, tournament director or tournament owner, so people know of Washington, D.C.
He definitely played in South America, and I saw him when he was about to get on his flight to said tournament, amazing, which I believe was Ecuador.
Anyway, let's move on. We got a bigger tournament that has been going on, also on grass. We're going to start with we'll start with the match that everyone was pumped with, Jannik Sinner and Novak Djokovic. As we know, in the last round quarterfinals, Djokovic got injured like the third to last point. He slipped, nasty little slip that obviously kind of showed today in this match. Let me go Jack first. Sinner wins 6-3, 6-3, 6-4. Novak had a little opportunity in the third, was up 3-0 and a break to go up 4-0. I don't know. Would you say this was just like a little bit of a bummer overall just because Novak was hurt?
Yeah, I think when I use the word disappointed, it's not obviously – it's full respect for Novak, for all the guys playing. I think as a fan of tennis now and guys now we're watching and not playing, I was stoked for it. I don't typically watch a ton of tennis, but I was like up and ready today to watch both. Obviously, the first match was super fun to watch, incredibly high level. So when I was like texting you guys, I was just like, he's playing super weird. Sometimes he comes out a little slow. So maybe I thought that was the start, but then, when it just kept happening, yeah, it was disappointing as a tennis fan, watching. But obviously he's almost 40 years old. He's doing things that are unheard of, that are almost inhumane at this point. Like you just, if you feel for him, hopefully he recovers quick and can give it another go at another big tournament.
It's like his body can go up to like a semifinal at majors and then it kind of like starts to break down. You think, John?
No, I disagree.
This is just unlucky.
This was a result of a slip.
True.
This
You're
wasn't
right.
him coming in tired and haggard and just too many miles and hours, you know, on his body throughout the course of the tournament. So it seems to me that center court, I mean, maybe I'm completely wrong. I was a bit more slippery than any of the other courts, because Sinner, when he did his elbow thing, was, well, Sinner,
maybe slightly, because it has three matches a day and every other court, generally speaking, has four matches.
Slightly,
but
I don't know. But yeah, it was just a big disappointment, because Sam, you and I, we said, with the caveat, assuming he's healthy, we like Novak's chances, but he wasn't healthy. Even when he was up 3-0 in the third set, you knew he had no chance to win.
You're like, oh, even if Sinner loses this set 6-1, he'll win the fourth.
Yeah, and Novak kind of knew that too. I mean, at 3-1, he was serving at 3-1, right? Of normal Novak, healthy Novak, he's probably winning that set, and boom, we're locked in a fourth set. But he was compromised out there, so it sucks.
After Alcaraz beat Fritz, do you think for Novak, the belief kind of went down a little bit? Because he's like, all right, I got to win six sets now against Sinner and Alcaraz combined. Or do you think he just was hurt?
No, I don't think so. I think he was hurt. I think if it was Taylor in the final, it wouldn't have made a difference. His body, just his knee, whatever he was going through. No one knew, right? Only him and his team. And it just, you have to be obviously at 100% health to be able to take out the number one player in the world, the absolute machine that Sinner is. And he wasn't, so it was disappointing.
Does Prime Novak beat these guys right now? I'll go to Jack first. Or do you think it's like a 50-50, or do you still give the edge to Novak, or do you give Prime Novak the edge to Sinner Alcaraz?
Prime healthy Novak, I give him the edge, I would say, there at Wimbledon, I think. Yeah, slight edge for sure.
I think so too. The other match, a little better. Alcaraz takes out Taylor Fritz 6-4, 5-7, 6-3, 7-6. And this was points away from going to a fifth. Taylor had two set points in the fourth, including like a short forehand, couple short forehands in the fifth that I even think if you asked Taylor, he would say, I didn't get all of these. I'll start with this. This match, I thought this match for Taylor's best opportunity to win it, I was like, he's got to go backhand to backhand rallies and keep the match as boring as possible. Not let Alcaraz hit like one of his like crazy shots and get all animated and light up the crowd. And Taylor kind of did that for the first 2 hours or so. I thought the match was actually somewhat boring, which helped Taylor. Obviously, I saw Taylor at transportation like about an hour ago. He was still down, but great tournament. But how did you think Taylor played in that match? I mean, obviously, like I said, they could have gone to five, then who knows?
Yeah, as good of a match as it was a bit of a subdued atmosphere out there. There weren't like many
until the very end, until the fourth set tiebreaker.
Yeah, there weren't really like crazy good points. So Taylor did very well, and he was holding his serve pretty well for the most part. Obviously, he got broken out of the gate. That's not a good thing. But then he sort of settled into the match. He gets down 4-1 in that tiebreaker, rips off 5 points in a row. And I think on serve, Alcaraz showed how great he is. That 6-4 serve by Taylor, he actually chalk flew up on the tee. And Alcaraz might have been leaning there a little bit, was able to get some wood on it on a chip return, kept it deep, kind of reset the point, was able to win that 6-4 point, which was crucial. But I think it was the 6-5 one, Sam, you said that Taylor had a bit of a
he caught a return
forehand.
Clean. Alcaraz so clean. Picked it up off the baseline and then just maybe didn't do quite enough with the forehand.
He hit his approach shot 7 feet inside the single sideline. Right.
And that's unlike Taylor. Taylor's usually a guy like no fear, big forehand, doesn't matter the score.
Doesn't matter the score. I mean, that return is Taylor, right? Doesn't matter the score. He's gonna nuke the return deep, and he did it. But the forehand, you have to ask him if he tightened up on it or he just simply missed his spot. I don't know. But when he got the 6-all, it became a little bit tougher to see Taylor winning that tiebreaker.
He's right there, Jack. You think Fritz, of all the Americans, is still like the guy that you trust most to win a slam of the Americans? Or is Shelton that guy, or is it Francis or someone else?
No, Taylor. I think Taylor's still a front runner there. I mean, what, he finaled US Open last year. He's now in the semis of Wimbledon. I thought that's not one you can hang your head on for him at all. I actually thought he played great. Like you said, he had his chances. Those forehands, he had the back-to-back forehands. I think it was a little tightness at the one, and then the next one, he kind of leaned back and shanked a forehand, which he doesn't usually do much ever with clean as he hits the ball. But, yeah, I think going to each slam, he'll be the favorite American, I think, for a while.
His stats were good today. He was winning he won 57% of second serve points or something, way more winners to errors. This was like came down a few points. A good effort, but
Sam, I think when we like always at the end of the year, a lot of people like to talk like who's going to end up as the number one American. I think all of us agree like when the dust settles, it's typically Taylor, right? He didn't have the best year going into this grass court season, like as far as the Americans concerned. I think Tommy and Ben have had better years to date. Now you'd have to look at the rankings, but you got to imagine Taylor finishes as the top ranked American again.
We've all been saying that, like you're saying, for 6 months.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
All right, let's talk about this final. Sinner, Alcaraz. As much as we love Taylor, he's our guy. This is probably the final the world wants, right? It's like people think they're getting after Roland Garros. Who's? I'll go to John first. Who's the favorite in the men's final? Don't give me the favorite. Who's winning and why? Alcaraz or Sinner?
I think Alcaraz is the betting favorite, but I'm going Sinner. I'm going Sinner. I think it's going to be somewhat comfortable.
Wow. Why? Do you have a good reason or just a gut feeling?
I've always contended that in the stats do not back it up whatsoever, but I have a personal experience playing this guy at Wimbledon in 2022, I think. And I thought he was so incredibly good on grass. And now this is 3 years later and he's a way better player. I think grass can be his best surface. It just gives him a little extra on his serve and his movement so superior than anyone else apart from Carlos, right? So he's getting the guy that's been his kryptonite. So this is his chance to sort of, put that behind him and sort of slay the dragon that is Carlos Alcaraz. And I think he's going to do it on Sunday at Wimbledon.
Jack, do you agree or are you going with Alcaraz?
Sticking with my bracket winner. He's got me here. He's kept me clothes on during the pod. So
he owes you dinner.
I'm gonna ride with Yannick. I think my only asterisk, it looked like today, if the arm feels good from start to finish, I'm gonna take Sinner. If it flares up at all, because it looked like it did a little bit maybe in his last match at times. Looks like he moved the racket from the right hand to the left hand and shake it out. But yeah, if he's healthy, start to finish, I'm gonna go with Yannick. But I don't think it's gonna be comfortable or potentially comfortable. Like John said, I think it's gonna be a battle.
This one's a tough one to pick. For the sake of the rivalry, I want Sinner, just because like Alcaraz now is kind of just winning the big. Even though Sinner's ranked one, Alcaraz is the guy that's been winning the big matches when they play each other. It's like I want Sinner to win one to just even up this rivalry to like pour more fuel in that fire. And I also think Sinner, I'm with you guys, 3 for 3 here. I think Sinner is just like, I think he's going to like show the world that like, oh, I lost that devastating Roland Garros final and I'm so mentally strong and I'm back. And like, I think he wants it like even more because of that, to like prove people that like, that's not going to put him down. Not that that's like great reasoning, but like I'm going Sinner.
Yeah, but you got to imagine for him, it's more mental than anything. Even if he gets up 2-1, there might be some thoughts that creep into his head, about that Roland Garros final.
Could you imagine if he's up like 2-1 and has a match point in the fourth, doesn't get it, and then they got to start a fifth? I hope we don't see that. That would just stress me out. Anyway, this is the final. I bet these ticket prices, today I saw like the get-in ticket price last minute was like almost £20,000. It's insane. This final is going to be...
For nosebleed?
Yeah.
Or for just...
No, I don't know. I was looking at it with Jason Goodall online, but like... an hour before on like a secondhand thing, but like I bet these are going to be like maybe the most expensive tennis tickets of all time. All right, let's talk about the women. This was probably of all four semifinals, this was probably the best one. Amanda Anamasova versus Arina Sabalenka. Anamasova with the 6-4. Am I saying that right, by the way? Anamasova?
No, I think you're saying it wrong.
Anisimova.
Anisimova.
You're switching the S and the M.
I've been struggling with this for like 2 months. I know everyone rips me online, like so just whatever, guys. But like I'm struggling with one. Anisimova.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Anisimova. I got it. I'm not gonna make that mistake again. So sorry to everyone. Massive win for her, taking out Sabalenka. Served for the match, right? Got broke, and then right back breaks Sabalenka to win it. John, how pumped are you for Amanda? I mean, we like the little backstory, her father tragically passed away when she was younger. She stepped away from tennis a couple years ago for a decent amount of time, I think for like 8 months or so. She's back now and into the Wimbledon final. It's like it's an incredible story. I think we've always known she's had this game. She's played massive. You know, she's won some big titles, but Can she not go all the way? We're going to get to that in a second. How impressed were you with the win over her against Sabalenka?
Yeah, I mean, very impressed. Sam, you called it. You thought she was going to win. I mean, she hits the ball so big. Probably the two of the biggest hitters on the WTA Tour, her versus Sabalenka. And she's beaten Sabalenka before, so I just think she took some confidence into that match. But, I mean, she's just playing so well. I mean, she started off the tournament winning 6-0, 6-0. Right. So clearly she was on, you know, on to something here. And I think it was just a matter of time when she just got everything clicking, her game, her mental headspace, on the court. It's a matter of time. Everyone knew the talent that she has. So to see her in the final of Wimbledon is awesome. That's three straight Grand Slams that an American has been in the finals of with.
Nope, that is wrong.
What are you talking about?
Think about it. Four straight Grand Slams there's been an American in the final.
Oh, you're right. Thank you.
Jessica Pegula in New York. Sam. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Thank you. All right. No, but you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. It's four in a row. Thank you. You're exactly
three
right.
Three winners.
Four in a row. I was talking about this year, but you're right. It's four in a row and four different women in the finals of a Grand Slam. That's awesome for American tennis. Thank you for the correction there, Sam. And, not everyone, but I think us on the pod are going to be pulling for her in the finals.
Yeah. Jack, the tough question. I don't have an answer for this. Amanda is 6-3 against Sabalenka. Why do we think that she is 6-3 against Sabalenka? I don't have everyone's record against her, but like, why is that, do we think?
Yeah, I mean, without obviously a concrete answer, that's what I would say. She's probably one that can handle the pace and dish it back. She, as you said, she hits the ball very big. Obviously, Sabalenka does as well. You would think, I would have thought maybe going into this match, I didn't know that record. I just would have thought going into this match, and Sabalenka is, I know we talk about the experience, but she's obviously been in a lot more Grand Slam late second weeks. And the way she plays, they play very similar styles. I would have thought Sabalenka would have handled this, but massive, massive win for Amanda. I think, I think that's what you said. I think she matches the power well. She can redirect off of it, almost turn it into offense on her end sometimes when maybe some other women, it kind of overpowers them. It could be too much, especially on grass. But yeah, massive win for Amanda. Did you get that bug?
Mosquito. Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't want to get bit. Oh, yeah. All right, I feel like Jack was like right in the middle of a serious, like.
He was. He was nailing it. Nailing his answer, too.
Sorry, dude. All right, moving on. Yeah, pretty cool to see her win that semifinal. And Sabalenka, who I'm a big fan of, great interview. Remember after the after Roland Garros, she came in the press room a little, you know, maybe said some things that she shouldn't have.
Salty?
Was a little salty, yeah. Was pretty funny and comical in this one, kind of joking around with the press about how you're not going to get that, Sabalenka. The other semifinal, just the shellacking. This wasn't not surprising, right? Swiatek beating Bencic 6-2, 6-0. At least it wasn't surprising for me. Are you surprised, John? I get a little hesitation or no?
No, I mean, maybe. No, I'm not surprised.
Maybe the scoreline a little bit.
2-0, yeah. A little bit, yeah.
I don't know. Swiatek looks like she's all of a sudden the best player on grass. We said this last episode. I'd also say that we don't need to touch on this match that much. It was 2-0. Like, Iga just steamrolled her. Great tournament for Bencic, making the semifinals. A new mom, like, that's an amazing feat. But let's go here. Who's winning this final, Iga or Amanda?
I mean, Iga's superpower on any surface, but especially grass, is her movement, right? It just seems to be far superior than everyone else's movement. And like, she's just doing it so well on the grass this year. Her forehand is obviously clicking this year, like oftentimes in past, maybe the grass has been a little too fast for her, like the big swing on her forehand side. She's fixed that. I think Iga's going to win the match. But I also called Sabalenka to beat Amanda. So maybe that's a good thing for Anisimova. Yeah.
Jack.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Iga as well. I mean, I just, if she plays like she has been, I don't see how that can be stopped. You never know with Amanda how the moment is, first final of a slam. Iga's obviously been there before, but I'm definitely gonna give the edge to Iga. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that we're surprised, and I hope Amanda and an American can win the tournament for sure.
Iga probably has the edge. She for sure has the edge. I think Amanda's gonna win. I think it's just like fate almost, like she's got everything on her side, beating Sabalenka. She's confident, head's in a good space. So I think she is going to be able to, like, in a sense, like, bully Iga around the court. And I think it's just her time. I'm excited. Both these look, we had like the most amazing finals at Roland Garros with Coco winning and then Sinner and Alcaraz. And now we get Wimbledon with another American and then Sinner and Alcaraz again. Like, you, if you're a US tennis fan, like, it's awesome. If you're a global tennis fan, it's also awesome. So it's both these matches are going to be amazing. So we agree on the men's side. We're all going Sinner. For the women, you two got Iga. I have Amanda. We will see who comes out on top. Snake draft update. Stevie won. Look, oh no, Stevie has Alcaraz. John has Sinner left.
We're not playing for anything. So it's not playing for anything.
Yeah, true. That one's not even exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. The real loser in all this is you. You lost the bracket challenge. And exactly. Jack won the bracket challenge. Right? I'm pretty sure. Because you
he's already
Sinner.
Locked it in.
Stevie has Alcaraz. I guess we gotta see.
How did I almost go shirtless then if I won it?
Because the points are so heavily weighted if you lost your guy that won the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, like last 2 days ago, like all four of us were only separated by like a few points. So like a lot rode on the on these semifinals. So that's how it happened.
Do we have who's in the lead right now?
Who is in the lead? Is that here we go. Is that Bolognese?
Donuts. No, I'm kidding.
No. Bolognese?
Bolognese.
It's Bolognese.
Bolognese. Yeah, there we go. Eat cupcakes.
It's Bolognese. It's like spaghetti Bolognese.
It's Bolognese. Yeah, it is. How that font is so small.
Is it Bolognese?
Bolognese.
Yeah. So it's like it's between Bolognese and whoever this other person is because they have different.
Bolognese pasta one and then Bolognese one and two.
Yeah. So BP1 has Sinner and Bolognese has Alcaraz. So it comes down to that.
Is that Felix?
Oh, actually, no, there could be a tie. Excuse me.
What?
E Cupcakes also has Alcaraz, and he has the same amount of points.
Yeah. Well, to bring them both on.
Well, actually, hold on. Someone asked me a question. A friend texted me, and I thought it was a good question, and maybe we've spoken about this. Is the delta right now between Sinner and Alcaraz and the rest of the field bigger than the delta at Roger, Rafa's, and Novak's peak versus the rest of the field? A friend texted me that, and I thought that was a really good question.
I think yes, the delta between Sinner, Alcaraz, and the field is bigger than the Fed, Nadal, Djokovic, and the field. It just feels like there's a massive drop off. No offense to the other players, Zverev, Fritz, Draper, those guys, compared to the drop off when it was like, I mean, you still had like Murray and like Wawrinka and like Berdych, Ferrer.
Yeah,
it just seems like the gap was a little closer.
It feels that way to me, but I think. After the dust settles in 10 years, I don't think the stats maybe will back that up because, I mean, look at how those three guys dominated the slams, right? But I'm with you. It feels that way to me right now. Jack, what do you think?
I think when you go slams plus, like, master series, the two biggest categories, I think – like, I feel like Roger, Novak, and Rafa won every slam and every master series. Like, I feel like you can still get some winners now outside of Alcaraz and Sinner at master series and stuff. Obviously, slams are a different animal, but – those guys are so dominant. I don't know. It's a really good question, actually.
It's a great question.
It's a good one.
How about this question? Someone brought this to me, too. Is Wimbledon the greatest sporting event in the world?
Ooh. I'm going to go yes. I think it's the greatest sporting event in the world. And I think, obviously, you look at other great sporting events. The Super Bowl, it's awesome. It's one night, right?
Yeah, Wimbledon's World Cup. 2 weeks. World Cup's like a month long.
Yeah, World Cup's badass. Every 4 years, so that's pretty badass. But as far as a yearly sporting event, I think Wimbledon is the best sporting event in the world. Just how perfect and beautiful that place is. Center court, all the celebs come out to watch.
Yeah. Oh, do you see the celebs there today? Leo DiCaprio.
I'm going to Wimbledon is the greatest sporting event in the world. 2 weeks. Everyone knows about it. Even the most casual tennis fans.
It trumps Augusta.
If you were an average Joe and you could have lifetime tickets, really nice tickets to either. I'm saying if you were an average just sports fan, just from North Dakota, and you could have lifetime tickets to the Masters or lifetime tickets to Wimbledon.
Well, Wimbledon all day. Masters golf. Golf is great, but the Masters, you're walking around everywhere. And it's not Wimbledon. You can pop down. put your tush in a little seat on center court.
Tennis is a better spectator sport than golf. Yeah. Golf has advantages on and TV for sure. But you think you ask the average American, they're probably saying the Masters. You ask the average sports fan worldwide, they're saying Wimbledon.
I think though, if you ask the American, they'll say Augusta. But then, like, you give us 2 minutes to just convince some of these things. Like golf, you got to walk around. Like it's kind of a pain with everything. And then you let us pitch Wimbledon. Like if we can make a little one-page pitch, I think we convert a lot of them. I'm with you. The more I think about it, I think Wimbledon's the greatest sporting event in the world. That's year to year. A World Cup maybe is better, but it's every 4 years.
I legit do, actually, because it's 2 weeks long. I mean, the Super Bowl is always a letdown anyway. Super Bowl sucks. Yeah.
We should do a sport event rankings. Like,
I think good.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll see everyone in 2 days for the finals recap.
I'll have my shirt on.
Yeah, yeah. Put your shirt on for sure.
All right. See you guys. Right.
Yeah.
That's our viral clip. It's with me with the...
me, you shirtless talking about a classy event.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.